Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, it's Candace
and Kayla, and we are directionally challenged.
Yeah, we thought we would have it all figured out by the time we were in our 30s.
But surprise, we don't.
No, but we're not supposed to.
That's right.
Right? That's yes. What I'm gathering at
we're
this
not
point.
Supposed to, and it's okay, and we're just both hot messes, and we're owning it. At least you're a hot mess, Candace. You look great this morning, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Oh, wow. You look fantastic as well.
We're both each other's cheerleaders.
I love all this love. I know. We need cheerleaders. We need to be each other's cheerleaders in this right. In this world right now, as we're slowly coming out of isolation. I'm very relieved to say that I am fully past my 14 days and I am vaccinated and it feels really nice. I feel like it's just a new day.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny. We are also vaccinated and fully able to, it's funny. It's more of a feeling than it's a change of feeling of knowing that you're going to be safe. Everything's going to be okay. It does change your mentality.
It does.
And maybe we can come see each other.
I know we can hug each other without getting tested ahead of time. You know, luckily we've had the excuse of this podcast to take photos together and mm-hmm. make a merch line together mm-hmm. and be able to see each other, which we were doing safely by getting tested and quarantining before we had that time together.
Right. But
it's also an interesting part of being vaccinated is also not the relief of knowing that I'm keeping like our little kids safe and that, you know, keeping loved ones safe when we see each other. But it's also been an interesting time of reflection of looking back at, you know, what last year was. And it personally, you know, being pregnant during the pandemic and mm-hmm. and really, I know I've started talking about it on the podcast, but the kind of the grieving process of the time spent away from from loved ones and friends, and not seeing other friends with their children, and realizing now when I see them again, you know, there's a whole 5 month old baby that they had never met before.
Mm.
You know, seeing other friends with their kids and realizing I've missed out on watching them grow up for a whole year, and kind of, you know, the emotions that come with that. Have you been doing any reflecting, you know, now that you're fully vaccinated as well? Are there any senses and feelings of that that's coming up?
Just complete relief and a sense of wanting to see my friends and be with my friends and support each other in person, because virtual is great, but it is not the same. And I'm so excited to finally, like you said, Candace, be able to hug and touch, just be with people. And I think what we've all learned through all of this is you can find inspiration and you can find happiness in other ways, but who you choose to spend your life with contributes so much to your daily happiness. And that is something that I will never, ever take for granted ever again.
Well, luckily, we are super fangirls of who we're sitting down with today. And mm-hmm. she actually was a huge comfort for the both of us throughout the pandemic. Her name is Morgan Harper Nichols. If you have not heard of her, get on social media right now. If you're driving, pull over to the side of the road. Follow her on her Instagram page at Morgan Harper Nichols.
She is an artist, a poet, and musician who sees art making as a way to connect with others. Her work is inspired by everyday stories and conversations. You can find her daily reads and more on her app, Storyteller. Her podcast, The Morgan Harper Nichols Show, is available wherever you listen to podcasts. And her new book, How Far You Have Come, weaves together personal reflections with her signature poems to share her journey to reclaim moments of brokenness, division, and pain, and re-envision them as experiences of reconciliation, unity, and hope.
Now, Kayla, I know that you've been trying to get me to meditate forever, and I kind of dipped my toe into it a little bit on and off throughout the pandemic, which is not really the art of practicing meditation, but
it's a start.
I kind of feel like Morgan's words and her art and her poetry have been my like mini meditations and mini mantras throughout the last year. And even before that, we've been highlighting her work on our podcast, social media since we started on at Candace Kayla. And so, oh my goodness, I'm just so excited. I'm just fangirling. I'm ready. I'm so ready.
So here's our conversation with the always lovely Morgan Harper Nichols.
And we are back with Morgan Harper Nichols. Morgan, we have been so excited to record this episode with you. First, just thank you so much for joining us today. Just know we are fans. We have been following your beautiful artwork, your words, your poetry, you for a couple years now. Mm. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. That means so much to hear. It really does. It never ceases to amaze me just how the internet is. I mean, you put these things out there and you literally don't know who's on the other side. So it's always nice to be able to connect with people and find that out. So that means a lot. Thank you.
It's funny. We were actually just talking about that before jumping on the mic with you, of just like you create these things and just even this podcast episodes that we create. And sometimes it more just feels like we're making this for ourselves as an excuse to see each other on Mondays. And then whenever anyone's like, oh, I heard this episode, we're like, really? People hear this? Like, this goes out into the world?
Yes. I feel the most that way about recording podcasts. Like, at least at one point in every podcast I do for my podcast, I'm like, halfway through, I'm like, why am I saying this? Like, does anyone care? Because you're literally just sitting there talking to yourself or to another person.
So,
I know. It fascinates me when someone says, oh, I listened to that. Just like you said, it's continually like encouraging to hear.
Well, we definitely care. And part of having this podcast, we knew we would have to create a social media page in order to promote this podcast. And in doing so, we wanted it to be aligned with the things that we were discussing on this show, which is really about self-reflection and growth and and getting rid of this idea of perfectionism and just allowing yourself to evolve, and which led us to seeking out other artists or poets or anyone with beautiful quotes on that were parallel to those things that we're discussing on this podcast. And that led us to you. And so for years, we've been highlighting your work on our social media page, which then led us to just following you obsessively and being comforted by your words and in your creativity. Have you recognized now, because you've been doing this for a while, specifically on different social media platforms like Pinterest and Instagram, but have you recognized a whole new audience that has discovered you coming off of a year like 2020?
Yeah, I definitely feel that my community audience has grown, and it's incredibly diverse. And that always really fascinates me, because I'm the kind of person who always, I love to connect with people, but I was also growing up just very introverted and had a hard time making friends, whether they were like me or not. So I always kind of had a lot of insecurity around, how do you meet people? How do you connect with people in a meaningful way? And I mean, even just from like a zoom out level, I mean, even just from a geographical standpoint, just all continents represented. I think the last time I looked, the US was somewhere around 50%, which I thought that was really cool because I'm US based. Mm. But the other 50% was just literally all over the world. I've had people who are native Spanish speakers asking if they can translate my work to share with their friends. I'm like, sure.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible. And I feel like that has grown even more so over the past year, just because, you know, while simultaneously being physically separate, we've kind of all gotten closer, for better or for worse, online in a lot of ways. So yeah, I've been really grateful to see the diversity continue to grow richer, if that makes sense. So yeah.
It does. It makes complete sense, honestly, because you seem to provide exactly what our world needs right when we need it. And that's why your fan base just exploded. You seem to kind of have this sense of knowing exactly what we all need to hear. And I'm wondering, the state of our world right now, what is it that you think we all need to hear and know?
I was actually thinking about that not too long ago, earlier today, actually, because it's interesting. I feel like for me, I personally, a lot of times start at a very cynical place, very naturally kind of skeptical. I'm like, what's really going on? Like, do they actually mean that? Or is that just like a marketing campaign? Like, that's sort of like where I naturally go, which is good to have that critical mind. However, at the same time, sometimes it can remove you from the heart, and it can remove you from the fact that, okay, yes, there are people who may talk about social justice issues for clout, but there are also people who legitimately mean it. And we can't always just, talking to myself, like, I can't always like draw a conclusion, you know, based on one thing. So personally, that's where I start. And I think the thing is that a lot of people are in that place. Like, a lot of other people are, just over this past year, like, a lot of people have had to question, like, maybe certain leaders that they used to follow, or, you know, watching someone just say something that's problematic that you used to enjoy reading. And now you're just like, oh my gosh, like, are all the other people that I like, are they also problematic? And I think that, or, you know, set problematic things. And I think that a lot of people in different, you know, subcultures, different groups are experiencing that. And we can all kind of get in that place of grief and sadness and anger. And then it kind of turns into, you know, maybe of like, let me just kind of close off the heart. Let me just kind of like, you know, just keep everyone at a distance. So I feel like a lot of what I end up saying comes from me having lived through that and living through that myself. Mm-hmm. And it just ends up being that a lot of other people feel the same way. And one example of that was, I remember writing a piece that was very specifically inspired by Breonna Taylor and the emotions that I had. And after later in this year, there was the just horrific shooting that happened in Atlanta. And I was following an Asian American friend of mine, and I was just reading her posts and I was sharing her post. And I ended up sharing that piece again, but like referencing my friend. I'm like, please go follow her. And I just thought it was interesting because I was like, these are different scenarios, different situations, but we do share this common grief and anger, even if it's not exactly the same. So yeah, I think a lot of it just comes from my actual experiences, things that I actively live through and live with. I'm in an interracial marriage. My husband is Asian American, Pacific Islander, and white. And there's just so many, and we have a son, and there's just so many complexities with having a son in this country, a Black son with brown skin, and what that means. So it's a part of my daily life. And for me, when I'm writing poetry, when I'm making art, that's where I feel like it's a safe space to kind of like really let those emotions have a place, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I know that's a long way of answering that question, but but yeah, that's just kind of what it's been looking like for me.
No, it's beautiful to hear that it's a safe place to have that emotional outlet, because it really can go either way, where I think we've talked to other creatives who felt that they just needed to like put the pen down or just take a quiet moment. Mm-hmm. And they just needed to step away from their creative outlet because it was almost too much. So it is beautiful to hear that you found comfort in your creativity. Is that something that you've always had, even from a young age? I mean, I know just obviously reading up on you, you're a beautiful singer. I was listening to your music before we jumped on the mic today.
Thank you.
you know, you've been creating for, it seems like, as long as you would be able to remember, you've always been a creative. So has this always been a safe place for you to go, your words and writing and creativity?
Yes, it has. I don't think I realized though, or would have had that language until, you know, kind of the last few years. Yeah, as a kid, I dealt with a lot of things. And I end up finding out this year that I'm autistic. So I was diagnosed with autism. So I had a lot of things growing up where I didn't know I was autistic, and I was just dealing with an enormous amount of everything from sensory overload to just communication problems. And I didn't know what these challenges were or what the name was for them. So for me, my journal growing up was my safe space. Like I used to write in my journal as if it were a person. So right. I would like, at the start of every journal, I would introduce myself and like give like, I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. My name's Morgan. I have a sister named Jamie. I was born on this day. Just, I don't know. It was really like this other person in my life. And I would just tell my whole story. Everything down from like the mundane details. I even found this one where, and it's kind of, maybe it's kind of creepy, I don't know, whatever. But I had like cut off a piece of my hair when I was like 9 years old and like taped it inside the journal. And it was like, this is what my hair looks like today.
I love it.
So yeah, I found that like, last year actually, and I was like, wow, Morgan, okay. But yeah, so I was really invested in having this sort of all-encompassing journal, and I also loved to draw, but I didn't, for whatever reason, I didn't think I was good at drawing. I had a lot of kids in my life who were good at drawing. Like, you know, those kids who can just draw everything, like
right.
from the time they could pick up a pencil. I wasn't one of those. So I just sort of assumed like, oh, I'm not an artist because, you know, I can't draw these, you know, elaborate Dragon Ball Z characters or whatever the kids are drawing. And I was just like, yeah, I can't do that. So I would just keep it to myself. And it was similar with music. The only reason why other people ended up hearing me sing or hearing me play instruments was because music makes actual sounds. So, you know, people can hear it, and my parents would hear me and they're like, oh, you can sing. You should sing. So I didn't, it was always a safe space for me to make things, but I didn't feel comfortable with sharing it. And I think it was probably because I felt like well, if I share it, then what does it become? Like, is it still going to be like my private, sacred, safe thing that I have if I'm sharing it with other people? So yeah, I think I started to notice over the past few years that it was really special to have that after I started to kind of share my work more publicly. It's like, oh, it's still nice to kind of have that, you know, art space that you can enter into that you don't share with everyone. So yeah.
This makes so much sense now why you love other people's stories and why you started your website where people can submit their stories and then you can create art based on their stories. I just think that is such a beautiful way to find inspiration because everyone's story is so different. I've so many questions about this, but when people submit their stories, how do you choose which ones to create based off of? And also, do you ever find and feel like the process of them submitting their stories is part of their healing?
Yeah. So the way that I choose who to write for is random. because once I started opening up my inbox for people to message me, I quickly realized I was not going to be able to get to everyone.
Right. Of course.
And I was just like, I cannot possibly choose. Like, to me, the fact that someone who doesn't even know me would take the time to send me an email and in many cases share something vulnerable, I was just like, there's no way I can open that email and not respond. So yeah, to this day, I started this in 2017. And to this day, I will go through, I'm not so much doing it on Instagram anymore because it's just kind of hard to manage the DM function. I wish they would make the DM function look like email. Like you have like your sent messages. That would change the game for me. But until that day comes, I've actually kind of started to encourage people to email me because it's easier to keep track of it. And what I'll do is I'll just go through, at this point it's hundreds and hundreds of pages in my email worth of submissions that I'll just kind of click through and I'll just stop on a random page and I'll just click on someone. And the way that the submission comes through, I don't see anything. Sometimes I can see a little bit of the first name, but I don't see like the story itself.
Cause it just so it's like roulette. It's just like happenstance. Wow.
Yeah. So it's really fascinating because it's, there are some times where someone will share their entire life story, but sometimes it's just like literally a few words and less than one sentence. So I have had moments where people have, you know, they've shared in long form and said like, it just felt good to get it out and to just share it. Mm-hmm. So I am grateful to be able to offer that. And it's been really interesting to me because it's, it is definitely a source of inspiration just to be able to take in someone's story. Like I recently learned that the word inspiration in like scientific terms, I mean, I'm not a scientist, so this is a poetic interpretation of it, but I was reading about the word inspiration and how it's another word for inhalation, like inhaling. And I was like, that's so interesting because I think we often talk about inspiration as like, oh, the thing that you know, take all in and then you put it out. But inspiration is literally just taking in. So it's like, by listening to people's stories and by taking them in, it's like, that's valid all on its own. And then if something comes of that, then let that be what it is. So yeah, I really enjoy that process. I mean, I thought that I would maybe do it for a week or two when I started in 2017, but here we are all these years later and it's still a part of my practice.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to get more in 2024. I know for me, one of my goals is to feel really strong this year. And honestly, so far, so good. Because that's where 310 Nutrition comes in. It's helping me and our listeners in the new year with protein and super rich food products with so many options and flavors. Right now I have the chocolate bliss and caramel sundae, and they are both so delicious. I have to hide them from my husband so that he doesn't steal them too. They're a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that leave me feeling full. 310 Nutrition also has a hydrate electrolyte drink mix. My favorite is the peach mango flavor. So not only am I hydrating and drinking water, I have an electrolyte blend, vitamin blend, and it's sugar-free. With one stick of hydrate mix into 16 ounces of water, and it can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Thank you. This way I can keep my resolution, keep feeling strong, have greater focus, feel refreshed, and maintain my hydration without having to drink as much. One of my favorite refreshing water enhancers they have is the lemonade flavor. It gives me energy. This one's also sugar-free. It's used with real lemons and it's pH balanced. And this also offers the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code CHALLENGED and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products that you know you'll use and will help you keep your resolution. So go to 310nutrition.com and use the code CHALLENGED right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310-nutrition.com and use code CHALLENGED. It's all the good stuff your body needs in flavors you crave. So be healthier effortlessly.
And we're back.
Is there anything that, is there a specific story that sticks with you or a specific piece of work that came from a story that still sticks with you that you hold closer to your heart?
Yeah, there are quite a few. There are quite a few times where I'll just kind of randomly think about some. Unfortunately, the ones that kind of come to my mind are the most, there have been a few occasions where I have written to someone who they either submitted on someone's behalf or it was something to have to do with a fatal illness or, you know, something mm-hmm. like that. And then by the time I got back to them, the person was no longer living. And yeah, I just don't forget those pieces. I don't forget those moments. And it's just, yeah, it's just something I think about. And another, like the opposite side of that, kind of a more lighthearted side of that, is there have been times where I have just gotten really, I would get like, I haven't done this recently. It was kind of when I was really starting out. I would write something for someone, I would just get really carried away. And I'm just like writing this long thing and I'm getting all, you know, imaginative. And they respond and like, yeah, that doesn't really reflect what I shared at all. So I was like, okay, I'm so sorry. So yeah, I've actually, because of that, it can be limiting in that way, because it's like, sometimes I'm writing about the subject that I want to go in a certain direction, but I'm like, I don't want to project this onto this person's story, this person's life. So now what I've actually started to do, and I feel like this is what happens in my books, those are kind of the space where I end up saying all the things that like I didn't quite feel comfortable just like sending to someone in one email. So yeah, it really is a delicate balance. And I think that's just a, I hate to say the word issue, but I do think that's the issue with the internet at large of like trying to make real connection, but also process the fact that this isn't a face-to-face with someone that you know. So you have to kind of be careful with like, well, where's that line then? And what, how much do you share in this open platform that anyone can see, but at the same time, you want it to feel authentic and personal. So yeah, that's something I think about a lot.
Right.
What I find interesting, and I'm really excited to talk about your new book, How Far You Have Come, but that you specifically in this book talk about getting inspiration, breathing in the natural world, and especially coming off of a year like 2020, which I know I'm a broken record at this point, but I feel like we're all in this like healing journey now, and we're still in it. You know, we're not on the other side of it, but it's like this bizarre in between where we're recognizing what we've all just been through as a collective earth, in humanity. And, you bring up like road trips and that's, you know, the path of the book, and also just taking in from the natural world and having that inspire you. But then the work that you create is in this space, like, you know, digitally, in this digital space, if you can see where I'm going with this, but how that must feel like. Do you actually put then like paint to paper or pen to paper? Did you find that like an interesting transition from, oh my goodness, I'm creating, you know, from the depths of my soul, but onto this like digital platform? I don't know exactly the point of my question, but do you see where I'm going with it?
I see exactly where you're... Yeah, I totally...
The natural world and the unnatural world, yes. You know, like the real tangible world and then the digital world and the juxtaposition of that.
Yes, that's a real thing. There is a tension there. And I feel like there's a tension there that I've just been very curious to explore for a long time, because I don't know if I've ever said it quite this way, so it might not make total sense, but just yesterday I was in my backyard and I was just staring up at this tree. It's kind of like an ordinary oak tree you would see anywhere. Like it's not, it's nothing dramatic. And I was just like, this is such a beautiful tree. And I was like, I'm so amazed by it and just like entranced by it. And I didn't feel compelled to write about it or take a photo. I just like standing here looking up at this tree. I don't know why, but I just like this feeling. And it's interesting because being autistic, I struggle a lot in the real world, especially when it comes to connecting with other people or in places that are like really loud. So in the natural world, I've had to learn how to seek out safe spaces for myself, even if it's just standing beneath a tree. Or like, I remember back in college days, I mean, I didn't know it was autism back then, but being at a loud event, I mean, I would just have to go sit in the bathroom stall for a very long time just to kind of regulate because everything was so loud. And so I've kind of been doing that my whole life, and I'm only just now recognizing that. And I think the thing is that for whatever reason, I'm also, and I think because I've experienced this in the real world, quote unquote, I do that with technology as well. So I kind of see social media as like the loud, crowded spaces in my life. It's like, okay, you kind of, you know, I mean, I don't technically have to be there, but it's like, okay, you're kind of have to, this is where everybody's hanging out. This is where you're going to find out all this information that you need to carry on with your life. But at the same time, it's really chaotic and it's very easy to get information overload and to just feel like bombarded with all this information and like you can't really process anything. So for me, making digital art has been sort of like my way of kind of reclaiming like the good side of technology and the good that it can do. And like the main app that I use is called Adobe Fresco, and it's available on iPads, but also phones as well. And I always recommend people download it, even if you're not an artist, because they have like these cool digital watercolor brushes that look like a real watercolor brush. And there's so many times where I'm just sitting there with my phone, and if I feel kind of tempted to go and just doom scroll and just get lost there, it's like, what if I, that literal same gesture of moving your thumb up and down, you can do that with a watercolor brush and you can make something interesting, even if it's just something for you. So yeah, I feel like it's weird. Like, I'm trying not to get too meta about it, but it's like there's this digital world and the natural world. And in a way, they kind of like, you can learn something about the other by being a human and being in both, you know?
Right. And what I'm hearing is sort of finding that balance. You have been able to now find the balance that works for you, which probably each individual has a different sort of balance that works for them. But that's where you create the best, when you can find that like beautiful balance between the two.
Yeah.
And I read that when you were younger, you would take your father's sermons, and this is how you started to do it. And then as a musician, you would take some lyrics and then paint to those lyrics. I guess, would I call it painting? Digital painting? Digital creation? Yeah. Whatever that is.
Yes. I oftentimes don't feel like I'm a real painter, but it is painting.
It's painting, I guess, and creating. And just artistry at its finest. And there is a moment that I've heard you speak about that I'd love to discuss, where you did hit rock bottom. And we all have had those moments where you felt like, maybe I'm not supposed to be an artist and this isn't what I'm supposed to do. I was just an artist as a child, and you broke down. And then you said, in true Morgan fashion, you wrote a poem about it and used all of that. And then that is the poem that ended up, I guess, going viral on Pinterest and was shared over 100,000 times. And that was sort of that catapult for you. Can you talk to us about the feeling you have that you need to hit rock bottom in order to grasp what you're really supposed to do with your life?
Yes. I, like many people, and I don't think it's any individual's fault. I think a lot of it, it's a lot of messaging that we receive, whether directly or just indirectly, this concept of like, oh, life is kind of like this upward trajectory. You know, it's like you graduate from school and then you get a job and then this happens and that happens and you just ride off into the sunset. And life isn't that way. However, unfortunately, for many of us, it kind of takes big moments of recognizing that and I think for me, that came in the form of graduating from college, getting a job that I really liked, and then the job didn't work out because it was moving across the state and I couldn't move with it. And then I started working in music full time, which is like, okay, this is cool. I can do this. You know, it's cool to work in music. It wasn't like a seal the deal, you know, I'll retire at 30. Like, and I wasn't like a top 40 artist winning awards. So I wasn't making a ton of money, but I was like, I love connecting with people and I love making art. And if this is a way I can do it, I'll do it.
Right. That's a huge leap of faith too, to start as a guidance counselor or school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then to then go to being a full-time artist, musician.
Yeah.
It's a big pivot in life.
It really was. And I was grateful for it. I have a younger sister who's in the music industry and still is. And I was doing a lot with her. And eventually I learned, which unfortunately many musicians learn, many women learn, many people of color learn, is that it is hard to get a lot of support to get enough support to fund what you're doing and to fund your career. And I was at a point where I knew that I was giving all that I could give, and yet still I'm looking around like, how am I going to pay rent next month? So I was really at a place of like, I was broke and tired. And I've since figured out that, okay, you, you can do one of those for a little while, but both of those together, they're, you can't do both of those together mm-hmm. for a long time, being broke and tired. Like you will, yeah, that weighs
deplete yourself
on a person.
Completely.
Yeah. It's hard because if you're low on energy, you can't even think creatively. It affects the whole ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So that's where I was. I was like, I feel stuck everywhere. Like I feel stuck financially. I feel stuck creatively, spiritually, psychologically. I just felt stuck in every area of my life. And I felt like I really did give my all, like in the first, especially in the, I was 26 when I kind of reached that point. And up until that point, I felt like I had worked really hard. I felt like I had really given my all. And yeah, I wasn't seeing any fruit. I wasn't getting able to get funding or support. And yeah, I just broke down one night. I just broke down, cried and cried. And right when I stopped crying, I just wrote a poem about this feeling that I was having. And I still don't even know if that feeling has an exact name, but it was kind of a feeling of feeling like a failure, feeling like disappointment to my family, to all the people who had supported me. And I just wrote about it and I put it online and I just let it go on Pinterest for a few months. And then it was a few months later that I discovered that it had been repinned over 100,000 times. And it was in that moment that it was, because I mean, it's not a perfect poem. I don't think I said anything in that poem that other poets haven't already said much better than I could. But I think it was just a moment of like, okay, yeah, a bunch of other people feel this way too.
Right.
It's like, while I was going through this rough year of watching all of my dreams just kind of like fizzle out one by one, all around the world, there were other people dealing with that exact thing. Even if they look different than me, even if they lived in a different country, even if they were a different age, didn't matter. Like those feelings are universal. So that, I think that really just gave me the permission to see those low points in my life of, it's like, okay, I may not be able to fix this in the way that I want to, but if I can at least figure out how to name these feelings or emotions, or just try to put them on paper, just try to turn them into art, at least I'll be able to see that I'm not alone. And that's been really important for me. I've shared some pieces over the past few months. I haven't shared this a ton publicly just because I haven't had time to really write about it, but I had surgery earlier this year to have a fibroid removed. And it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad for me for a few months leading up to it. And then even after the recovery, just taking a very long time. And I've written a lot just for myself, just trying for myself, just dealing with that physical pain and that struggle. And I've shared some of those things. And even without sharing the story of the surgery itself, people are still connecting with it. People are still saying like, oh, I felt that too. Or I really connect with that. And I just find that so interesting. It's like, we can share our stories, but we also don't always have to. Like, we can just acknowledge that we're all kind of encountering these feelings together. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That feelings and emotions are universal, even if the story in which the person is living them out is different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful connecting thing for us all.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
And we're back. Conversations I've been having a lot in my own personal life that is very relating to what you're saying is sometimes that there's this idea of course, like the mapped out life of like graduating school and then what's the next plan and then what's the next job and, mm-hmm. and what things are supposed to look like on paper. And, but then also, you know, for the dreamers, we have these big dreams and sometimes we can get so hyper focused on what it's supposed to look like,
yeah.
you know, what a dream is supposed to look like, that we're missing out on this like other yummy stuff. Like the good stuff about dreaming is that there is like this endless, you know, the endless possibilities of what a dream can be and look like, mm-hmm. that we're so hyper focused on like, I have to get through this door of opportunity, that we're missing all these other hallways and the opportunities that can be waiting for us at these other doors that can lead us to like all these things that we didn't even know we had within ourselves to give. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of what you were doing is obviously like music and sharing your words and your feelings and your emotions with other people. And it's just interesting that, that is still in essence, you know, what you're doing just in a different medium and a different form. And, you know, people are still carrying their words and your feelings around with them in their hearts and sharing them with their loved ones. You know, it's not in the form of like playing a song in their car. Instead, it's, you know, but still like it's in a form of them like reading your words on a very on their most personal device, you know, on their phone or on their computer. And they're carrying you around with them in their pocket everywhere they go. And there's something really beautiful about that. I don't know. I just felt like just to acknowledge
thank you.
That.
Thank you.
Have you guys seen the movie Soul?
Yes.
The Pixar movie. This is reminding me so much of that because, long story short, for those who haven't, cover your ears because it's a must see and I don't want to ruin anything. But that's his life story. He is only singular. He has one singular vision, thinks he belongs and needs to do one thing. And then he's able to go back and see his life and realize all these incredible things he's done that he hasn't even noticed and all these people he's touched. And that's kind of what you were talking about, Candace, and it's beautiful. But Morgan, I have to ask you about your creative process because we're all artists here. And I think sometimes putting art out every single day, whether it's your daily podcast, whether it's your, you know, beautiful Instagram or blog shares, all of that, putting that on yourself to create and share art every single day is a lot. And so I'm wondering, what is your creative process? Is there a specific spot you go to? Is there a song you listen to? How do you find that inspiration every single day?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is, and I think that I am in a lot of areas of my life, this could probably be a weakness, but when it comes to art and sharing, I think my process, I think it's a strength. Now I am a very like, type B, low energy, like I'll get to it when I get to it type person. Like I am never in a hurry. So sometimes that's not a great thing. It's like, hey, Morgan, we sent you that email. Like, do you remember it? I always tell people that work with me, like, please, please don't ever say to me like, I'll just get to it when you get to it. I won't get to it. Like, give me a date. Give me a date that's like 5 days before you actually need it. I'm just being honest. Like, I do, if I have a deadline, like, I take it seriously. But I'm just saying, my natural tendency is like, nah, I'll get to it when I get to it. So because of that, I actually make a lot of art, but I don't share anything in real time. So for instance, I shared something on Instagram today that I created when my son was about a month old, and my son's about to turn 2 years old.
Oh, and wow.
I was holding him, and we had some flowers on our back deck, and I took some pictures of the flowers, and then I made some art from those flowers. I'm just now sharing it. So wow. It's, for me, I have a hard time with them. It's very important for me to separate my creative process from the creative publishing process. Like right. It's, those are just such separate things, because what I have found is that when I'm focused on, oh, you need to upload something today, then I'm trying to think, oh, well, what's trending, or, you know, what will fit with all these other things that are going on. And a lot of times that just doesn't come up with the best combination, because you can't control the algorithm. You can't control, you know, who all is going to see your work and what they're all encountering in the day. So I find it a lot more freeing to just say, I'm creating this today, and it might not end up being seen by anyone till a month from now, a year from now. So yeah, I think that's a strength of mine. For some reason, it has its weak side, but the strength is that I'm just not in a rush. So that gives me a lot of permission to just experiment. And I think what motivates me to experiment is I love colors. I love playing with colors on my iPad. It's so therapeutic. I can just sit there. I did this past Saturday. My son went out with my husband, and I was just home for a few hours, and I just turned on some TV, and I just sat with my iPad and just played with shades of purple, because I was like, I need to do more with purple. So it's fun for me. And in that moment, I'm not thinking about, oh, is this going to end up being on a product collaboration, or is this going to be on Instagram? I'm not even thinking about it. I'm like, just have fun. You know, this is something you enjoy. And then if it ends up being something that shared later, then it is. So, yeah.
I think it's so easy, especially nowadays, to lose sight as an artist, to lose sight of just creating the art for the sake of creating the art and always needing to know what the end result of it's going to be. Yeah. So it's a beautiful reminder just to enjoy the process. What have you, obviously you wrote your latest book during the pandemic, and so much of your work is rooted in is self-growth. And also then you've talked about on this podcast already that you've recently also been diagnosed as being on the autism spectrum. What have been the biggest lessons or takeaways from going through such a big year like 2020 that we've all just been through? And then also what have you learned about yourself? What is there like a sense of relief that things that you've learned about yourself, whether it's that, that maybe celebrating that you were kind of already on this path of being able to be present and create art and lean into that, or things that you didn't realize that, you want to do more of or less of, or What are the big takeaways that you've learned about yourself after last year?
Yes. This past year and some change has definitely been transformative for, you know, in a lot of ways for me and obviously everyone else. And, you know, there's a lot. And I feel like it's kind of hard to even sum up in a few sentences, but there is, you know, for me, there were some big turning points. There are people that I knew that passed away and can't go to funerals, you know, in other states. And that was kind of, I mean, not kind of, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. It's just like a whole new thing that too many people have had to encounter. And just being at home was just a very sombering experience for me, because I realized that I had been doing way more than I probably should have been doing just in terms of my workload and the pressure that I felt. So with my art and everything, we were able to start a business a few years ago. So we're small business owners, and there's just a lot of pressure with that when it comes to running a business and feeling like you kind of always have to be on and be on top of things, and it can be hard to rest. So just recognizing that amidst all of that uncertainty, it's like, okay, you're still a human though. Like you do have to get sleep at night. Like you do have to have mental breaks where you're not just thinking about every number and every detail. Like you won't be able to sustain that. So that was a huge, huge turning point for me. And in that slowing down, I just ended up being creative in different ways. And that's how I actually wrote my book, was by literally going through my phone's camera roll and finding moments that I maybe hadn't sat with that were moments of growth and courage. And I found it by literally just looking at photos of sunsets and trees and driving over bridges just from my iPhone photo. Like the cover of my book is actually an iPhone photo from my phone. And it started there, and I just kept going deeper and deeper. And that's something that I don't think I would have done outside of last year, because if I have like a big project, I'm like, okay, well, I need big inspiration. You know, what trip am I going to take? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I didn't have that. So I had to learn how to go deeper right where I was. And that's what ended up making the book happen. And just in that stillness, I also ended up on TikTok a lot. And that resulted in, that is actually what led me to pursuing my autism diagnosis. I had growing up, my parents did think it was possible that I was autistic. And, but I mean, just back in the 90s, and of course, even before then, I mean, it's just really hard to get diagnosed, and it just gets even harder for girls, for Black kids. I mean, it's just really complicated. So they kind of reached some dead ends and weren't able to get any help. And then I tried when I was 27, I went to my doctor and I said, I think I could be on the autism spectrum. And he was just like, you're perfectly normal. You have nothing to worry about. Like he barely even listened to me. And wow. Sadly, I believed him. And It wasn't until TikTok that I saw some autistic women who were talking about their experiences with being diagnosed as adults, that I really realized that that was my story. And that is what gave me the courage to start Googling and find a specialist. And thankfully I was able to find one. So yeah, I've learned a lot from having to sit still. And it's hard because, I mean, the diagnosis process was several months long, and I mean, it's literally looking at every facet of my life, and lots went into that. And there are so many days, like just after sessions, appointments, where I would just like sit there and just silence. I'm like, what just happened? So, because there's just a lot to process. I mean, Processing anything of your whole life is a lot, you know, especially the older you get, because there's just so much you have to think back on. So it was just, I feel like I've learned a lot from just being still and really looking in the mirror in an all new way. But the beautiful thing about that now is that I feel like I'm able to advocate for myself more. I feel like I'm able to say no to things more if I'm not able to do it, and just be and not feel so much guilt and shame around, oh, I feel like I should say yes to this because everyone else said yes to it. It's like, no, I can't do it. And that's okay. I have someone helping me with my email now. I have people helping me with things that a year and a half ago, I would have been like, no, I can do that all on my own. I don't need any help. Like, I'm an adult. I'm a business owner. I should be able to handle this all by myself. And I'm learning how to ask for help more and not be ashamed of needing support and not be ashamed of inviting other people in. So yeah, it's a long way of answering your question, but
no, it's learned beautiful.
A lot. I've learned a lot.
We hear a lot about that on this podcast, of learning to say no and the power of that. And then also asking for help. how difficult it is for people to just ask for help. It's something that's so simple. I also really wanted to ask you about being a first-time mom. I think you and I have a parallel birth times, because I'm almost going to have a 2-year-old as well. And I know for me, she was around 5.5 months old when we were on lockdown. And so that was such a saturated first time mom experience. Also very lonely because, you know, you need help and it's your first time experiencing all these new things. And then you're told you can't leave your house. You can't have help. You can't even, you know, count on family, which maybe you wanted to. So did you find that it was harder to create in those moments, easier to create? What was that experience like for you?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you can relate to this feeling. Yeah, it's so hard because I think in becoming a parent, like many parents, it's like you want to give your kid the best you can give them. Like you, like whatever you didn't get to do as a kid, you want to do it. So like one of the first things before the lockdown, when my son is like 7 months old, he had been to Disneyland like 3 times. Why? Because I didn't get to go to Disneyland.
Right.
Right. I think we went to Disney once, and that was like, okay, yeah, you better enjoy it because this costs a lot. So we had Disneyland passes. We're like, you're going to be a Disney. He's going to know his whole way around the park. Like, so yeah, we definitely were really excited to just literally show him the world and just learning how to do that at home. It's just been a completely different experience. It's so hard. Yeah. It's so hard. I mean, we were like birthday coming up and we were like, oh, we could go to the aquarium. Like it's pretty socially distanced and like we could do that. We can make that happen. And then like you look up the website and we're still going to go, but like so many things are closed down. Like they're like, oh, they can't, you know, touch the tadpoles. I don't know, whatever you touch in the water.
When you're tide pools,
There's so many little things like that. It's like, oh, that's such a bummer. I'm like, all these little things, like, literally the smallest things that we can't do. So it's been, thankfully, I actually have, my sister and I got pregnant at the same time. She has a little one and her niece is a week younger than my son.
No way. That's incredible. So, you can't plan that. That's incredible.
Yeah, I know. We did not plan it. It is the most hilarious thing that happened. But thankfully we have each other. So it's, we can at least vent to each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, we were both going through the same thing of like, oh, hey, their birthdays, once again, they're going to look different this year. And how are we going to do this? But it's, I think it's really important to have other people that you can at least talk to it about, because the thing is it's, we don't know what the long-term effects of all this is. So when these little kids are able to be around other little kids their age, I think it's just going to be so important, because unfortunately they have that shared experience, which is so sad. But at the same time, it's like, they don't have it alone. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll all be able to say, hey, we were, and maybe they'll be more open about mental health issues than our generation was. And maybe they'll be like, hey, here's why we're all dealing with this, because when we were babies, this is what we went through together. So let's all be a little nicer to ourselves and each other, because, you know, we've been through a lot. So, you know, I'm hopeful for that. And I feel like I'm even seeing that now with like Gen Z, like they're even more open about talking about mental health and being more open about long-term effects of things. So I just hope that continues to get better.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, speaking of mental health, your podcast is also wonderful.
Oh,
you release new, like they're shorter episodes where you read off some thoughts and feelings and poems. And you also like to leave your listeners with like a piece of their own inspiration, their own, something they can breathe in and maybe journal about and take away with them. And we were wondering if you wouldn't mind, if there's anything you have that you would maybe want to give to our listeners today that they could maybe ruminate on or journal about later.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I'll give you one that I think it's been pretty something that I feel like I've been trying to do more, and that is to find something new every day that's small that you can just delight in for no other reason than just take it in. So for me today, that was a very delicious Snickerdoodle cookie that I ate a few seconds before we hopped on this call. And it was delicious. And like, that's it. That's what I'm going to delight in today. It's small. It does not matter in the grand scheme of things, but it was a part of my life and it was special and I'm going to hold on to it. So just finding something little. Yesterday it was a tree. It was staring up at the tree. So just finding a little moment like that every day. And, you know, over time you'll look back and see all these little things that you've been gathering all along.
I love that.
I love
Thank you so much, Morgan, for joining us today. Morgan Harper Nichols, you guys, the Morgan Harper Nichols. We are so honored to have sat down with you and had this conversation. You are, inspiration isn't the right word, but you're just fascinating and so inspiring. And we feel so lucky to have you a part of our podcast. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. I really enjoyed this conversation as well. I really did. Thank you.
You know, it's funny. Morgan talked about how she sat and enjoyed a lovely cookie before our conversation with her. And that was sort of her form of meditation and stillness. And I was thinking throughout our conversation with her, well, what will mine be today? And as we're talking to her, we have this beautiful bay window in the room I'm recording in, and this butterfly has not left this little flower, and it just keeps kind of buzzing around and then landing again and buzzing around and landing again. And I found myself throughout our conversation enjoying it so much and then staring out the window at this butterfly. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is what Morgan was talking about. She sat in front of that tree and just sat and watched it and enjoyed it. And I think what I'm going to take away from our conversation is finding moments like this more in life, but also just recognizing them, because maybe they already exist and we're doing it. We just don't realize that it is a form of meditation or a form of stillness or reflection.
I love that. I know, I'm realizing mine yesterday would have been, I made spring rolls, like with rice paper and just like the chopping of all the vegetables and, and that go in it. And then the dipping of the rice paper and kind of like the art of folding it, which I did terribly. It took me like 12 spring rolls to get one good one, but, Joe was craving them and I just kind of got inspired to cook dinner and just, and had Josephine sleeping in my little baby carrier. And so just, you know, the feeling of the spring rolls while I was rolling them and kind of the smell of Josephine's breath when she was sleeping. And it's just, I wouldn't have been like living in that moment over a year ago. Over a year ago, I would have been thinking how tired I was. I would have been, you know, thinking of the other 10 things I should have been doing. I would have been, you know, overwhelmed at the thought of everyone being hungry and wanting to feed them. And is there enough food? And, you know, I just would have been already in a different place, stressing about something that didn't matter at the moment, thinking that that's what I should have been doing. I should have been busy. I should have been stressed. I should have been the shoulda, coulda, wouldas of, instead of just really sitting in the present moment and being like, no, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what fills me up as a human, as a woman, as a partner, as a mother, as a caregiver. And just, it's nice to sit in that. It's nice to sit down and kind of look at those moments, just like she described, looking up at this tree. And to anyone else, it might not seem significant, but to feel the significance of that is what makes us human. And that's the coolest part. That's the stuff. That's the yummy bits of life.
Right. I've been hearing so many people talk about how they've just slowed down through the pandemic. It's been the one positive side to it all, that everyone's crazy busy life before, they were able to kind of trickle out all the noise and then just be. And that's what I'm hearing you say.
What? I'm thinking back to an episode we had a really long time ago, pre-pandemic, and where the whole episode was about slowing down and the idea that we were all so quote unquote busy. We're all busy, busy, busy. And the modern woman and what it means to be busy. And I think that the advice that we were working through was then making lists and timing out every single part of your day to like work in periods of time of rest. And where it's like, I understand that, yes, like that is an actual thing that is wonderful and a great tool. But the fact that we let it get to that point, you know what I mean? And right. Now I don't know if I could ever get back. And in that moment, that made so much sense. I'm like, yeah, I just schedule time of rest. And now I'm like, oh, no. Those things have to, and I need them to like coexist. There's mm-hmm. not like a scheduling of rest. The rest is just as important as the other stuff. Right. Like this is not, I'm not going to pencil that in anymore. Like that has to exist. Always. Wow. Always.
It'd be so interesting to go back and listen to that episode and see where we and our guests were at that time in life. And then now to see how far we've come, and maybe it's full circle.
Yeah.
Or maybe we're just halfway through the circle and that's okay too. There's still more to come. That'd be great.
I love that. We're the crescent moon. I'm feeling so like moon and sun and
earthy.
Like earthy. In tune. I mean, I've got this like earthy boho dress on. I'm just feeling it. Feeling it, but it feels good. I like feeling a little earthy.
Well, I think that's how everyone feels when they are done being within the presence of Morgan Harper Nichols, listening to her podcast, reading her daily dose of inspirations. We hope you guys enjoyed this conversation as much as we did. We have another great episode coming up for you next week, and we'll see you then. Directionally Challenged is a production of Pineapple Productions.
Producer, Melissa DeMonts.
Edited by Katrina Henning.
Post-production sound by Chris Henry.
Music by Joe King.
And advertising partnership with Acast.